Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I had the chance to sit down with Joe Miller, the director of Philadelphia Symphonic Choir, when the choir was singing with the Philadelphia Orchestra in a performance of Haydn's oratorio, The Seasons. The Seasons is a very large work, and I asked Joe where it fits in the choral repertoire.
I'm so excited that we're doing this work because it's really never done. I had a wonderful professor in graduate school that championed this work. He loved it. He lectured on it all the time. So I've waited my whole life, and everywhere that I've ever worked, I've never been engaged in a performance of it. So this is the first time. This was, you know, Haydn, he wrote this after creation, after the late six masses. At the same time, it's at the pinnacle of Haydn's writing. And, you know, we think of the creation as being, you know, one of the greatest oratorios, and it is. But then you have this monumental work, The Seasons. So it has a great place in the repertoire, but it's not often done. But an interesting thing about the piece, and I think maybe the reason it's not in the repertoire and done as much, the creation sits definitely in a sacred vein. And so it has been done by churches and orchestras, and many people have done it. It's been in the repertoire. The Seasons is somewhat sacred, but it also has a drinking scene, and it has an ayuha scene, you know, this kind of celebratory and a love scene, although the love scene is still just very, very beautiful. It's not raw, but it is the work in itself has a hard time fitting into a box. It's joyously complex.
So it tells the story of the Seasons with three soloists singing the roles of three peasants and their experiences as the seasons change. What is the role of the chorus?
The chorus takes on many, many different roles. Sometimes they're commenting on the action that is being told, and sometimes they're descriptive. So, for instance, when the sun comes out for the first time, it's the chorus that comes in and really overwhelms the texture of the orchestra to give that brilliant image of the sun.
Oh, and it's so evocative. I was thinking that as we were listening to it, because it's very gradual, and you can sort of see in your mind the sky changing colors. And then when the chorus comes, it's just spectacular. We also heard that they were used in another spectacular moment, the storm.
Yes, they have a description of a storm, and it starts with these two huge lightning bolts that happen almost. When we were rehearsing it, I said, just pretend that the lightning just struck right next to you and you respond with your sound. So, the thunderstorm is a great example of the kind of pictorial writing that Haydn is known for.
Are there specific choral techniques to sing something like this?
There are certain traditional things. There's a lot of fugal writing, counterpoint, which, you know, requires us to use our, you know, very strong rhythmic skills in dialogue with each other. But there are also more folk elements, the very opening movement, which is talking about, you know, asking spring to come. And it is this very Viennese kind of sound, 6-8. And we do find some waltzes throughout. So there's kind of this folk, beautiful, warm colors that the chorus gets to do, but also there is some very traditional writing, much more Handelian maybe, that we would have in some of the fugues that end the movements.
Does he use word painting, that concept of trying to evoke through the music a picture in people's minds?
Absolutely. And in rehearsing the piece, we have used a lot of imagery. So let's think of this image and try to let our sound respond to that image. So not necessarily so madrigalian in taking a specific word, but certainly painting a thought or a mood. He does that all through for the choir. And I ask them to be part of the drama, to not be observers of the drama, but to respond to it. So, you know, we're asking the choir not only to just stand and sing their part, but to respond to what they hear in the orchestra and what they do with the soloist. Coming up in the second half, there is a story that's told by Hannah, the soprano. We are in the story with her. And in the last movement that you'll hear, we are asking the questions to the soloist in the orchestra. So the choir is asking the question and then everyone is responding.
Wow, that's great. Also coming up, the chorus sings about the hunt, which is very spirited. And there's also a drinking song, which must be fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. And we have a wonderful Austrian singer that's in the choir that has been teaching us about Juche, this tradition, Austrian tradition of celebrating with wine. And they have this yodel that goes with it. Haydn must have known that because I think it's painted very well in the drinking scene.
So the human voice is more variable, perhaps, than musical instruments. If you have a big choir, everyone sings slightly different, even if they're on the same part. Are there particular challenges in a work like this to certain sections?
I don't know that there's challenges to certain sections. It's a challenging work for the entire choir. But I think it is to get the voices to respond to what the colors and images that Haydn wants. So it is certainly not using one type of sound all the time. For instance, there's a part that we imitate bagpipes, and so the altos have to find a way to access a sound that sounds like a droning bagpipe. And then there are certain times that we yell, and, you know, how do you make that work? Or, you know, the sound should sound bright, like the sun coming out, or it should sound very dark and warm, like it's inside the house, which is coming up in the winter scene.
Wow. And I know Yannick is very fond of this piece. He sang it when he was a boy and has talked about the imagery in it. Did you work with Yannick before you started working with the choir to talk about these images?
Yes, we've been dreaming of doing this work for several years. So this is a dream come true a little bit when he and I started to talk about it. But because the piece is so chorally driven, we began by talking about it, and then he marked a score for me. And in that score, he gave me a lot of his ideas, and he gave it to me, and then I added my ideas as well. And then that all came together to be what you heard. So it really was, he's been working in Berlin, and so we were corresponding while he was there to come up with the concepts and ideas for the piece.
And is there an overall message in your mind of this piece, what Haydn wanted to say? Because he wrote it very late in life.
Yannick talks in the piece at the end. The baritone has the moral of the story. And he talks about this is Haydn, because it's Haydn at the end of his life. He's writing this at the end of his life, and he has this knowledge of the cycle of life. And I think he's asking us to remember, you know, it's like the soloist being peasants. He's asking us to remember to keep ourselves on the ground, to stay grounded, to remember that the natural world, that nature and is important to how we live our lives. In the end, it is kind of what is within us, what touches the ground, that is a most important lesson for life.
And it's great because this was first performed in 1801 and it seems just as relevant today.
Yes, yes. The music is such a beautiful way for people to escape, to kind of reflect in the most beautiful way on, you know, on their own lives today.
Great. Thank you so much, Joe Miller.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.